This is weighty stuff here in Hebrews. It's a great kind of reiteration of this theme. You can see the author building up to this point about faith and about our role in it. During the week, we had a lot of different stories in the Bible that we read as part of Vacation Bible School. One of them that we read was the story of Thomas. Another one we read was the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. All these things that really touched upon faith, and faith in things not seen, in sort of very literal ways, in the story of Thomas, who was not there when Jesus came to visit the disciples. And then at the end of that story, Jesus sort of looks out to all of us, breaking the fourth wall, saying, blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. Right? You have this? In the story of the loaves and the fishes, the idea that if we share what we have and have faith, that it will be enough. It is, in fact, enough. These things that are unseen, the moments where you are moved to not trust what might happen, to be afraid of what might happen next, lead into this story in Hebrews, where we see that there were these ridiculous things that happened if we take a step back. You know, Abraham went into this land based on nothing but a promise. And then the angels come to the tent. And we had that a couple of weeks ago here too, right? The angels come to the tent and say, you will be the parents of a great nation. And Sarah laughs because it's ridiculous. And yet the faith that those people had, the faith of Abraham and Sarah to live in that tent anyway, you know, to be in this new land, even though the promises seemed unfulfilled, the faith in the small child who had the bread and the loaves to share, to spread them around with other people, that faith that it would be enough to feed the people and that he would have food too. Now, even in the end, the faith of Thomas, that there was something worth commenting upon when he got back into that place, the anger he might have had that Jesus would have come back when he was not there. You know, that is one way to read that story, is that he was so angry that Jesus, who he could not believe in a normal sense would have appeared, did appear and left him out. Faith in that unseen action eventually got Jesus to reveal himself to Thomas and give Thomas what he needed. It's tough sometimes in the modern era when we have so much information. The idea that we would just leave and go to an unknown place is almost impossible. There is so much on the internet, there's so much writing, there's such a volume of things out there that it's difficult to go to a place without any preconceived notions of what it is you might find there in the way that Abraham left. There's so many opportunities to do research on why it is we are unable to have children, to do research on all the different skin diseases that might be affecting us and what might work to fix them. That it's hard to go into this situation realizing that the future is unseen and unknown to us. It seems like with all of the information, and also with some of the judgment that goes along with it, there is so much information, you should be making better choices, right? Sometimes happens to us all, that the opportunities for faith seem to be restricted to how good the punter is going to be in the fall, right? There are not that many opportunities for us to display with our actions the faith we might have in the future. There's too much handicapping that we can do. Even with that punter, we can have faith in how they'll perform, but maybe we'll check the spread alongside of it and what the bookies think's going to happen, right? There's always some kind of information that is out in front of us. And so we had an interesting experience last week in the Boundary Waters. Those of you who didn't know, my entire family and I went up as part of Troop 250's excursion to the Boundary Waters on High Adventure this year. We had to have four different crews, which is a lot of different crews. There's a lot of coordination that we had to do. Beth and Teddy and I were all part of the youngest crew. There were four rising eighth graders in that crew, none of whom are going out for the football team. And so we're out there, and from the time we leave At the time we're planning this trip, we have the map in front of us, but we have no idea how far these guys can canoe. We have absolutely no idea how strong they're going to be. We have no idea how they're going to handle whatever weather is in front of us. We have no idea how well they can navigate the canoe. When we go out there, we can say, well, here's our target. But until we got on the water, we had no idea what realistic estimates might even be. With the other crews, you had older folks in them. You had people who were in high school, some of whom are on the football team, and are strong and can make it quickly across portages, carrying canoes and packs and things. And so they set up these ambitious plans, but we could not make anything other than here is what we hope to do. We had no choice. There were too many unknowns as we went up there. And on our second day, as we went across five portages, for those of you who don't know, that's when you've got to carry the canoe and all your stuff across the land. And we had to do this with some folks who could barely put a pack on their back. And one of our guys actually had a sprained ankle, so he couldn't carry anything. So we had six people carrying all the stuff for seven across these portages. And then it was a popular travel day. Everyone had gotten on the water for three-day trips, and these five portages were all mandatory. You had to do them one after another to get into the Good Lake. And so there were a lot of impatient people behind us while we had this small and slow crew moving. And so they passed us, which is impolite, but they did it anyway. And so in all the chaos, our backup map was lost. So then not only were we unsure of how far that our scouts can go, then we as the adults are totally in their hands because we don't have the backup map to be looking at. You know, the conventions in scouting is a scout led, and so the navigator was one of the scouts, a different one every day. And they would look back and say, hey, here's where we think we are. What do you think? And we kind of had to say, you've got the map. We did have a backup, but we won't talk about that right now. But, you know, and put our faith into the hands of this 13-year-old navigator who had never done navigation of waters before, right? And we had to put our hands into their judgment about where we wanted to go, into their judgment about what campsites we wanted to take, about how far we could go during the day, about when we're going to leave as well. And so we put all of our planning, you know, we could offer advice, and being 13, they listened to us a little bit, but we could give them advice, but really all the planning was in the hands of these guys. And all we could do is say, hey, we prepared you for this trip as best as we could. We gave you the ideas. We checked over your gear to make sure you had what you needed. And at this point, we simply have to have faith that you all can get us where we need to go. It was an interesting experience. It's a discipline, too. Sometimes those of you who are used to planning a lot, those of you who are used to being sort of in charge of what your day-to-day itineraries are, those of you who have strong ideas about what you like to do, you may understand that it's occasionally a difficult discipline to engage in keeping quiet and saying nothing, right? It's hard to say, but this is such a better idea and I can't tell you that because that's not my job. It's hard to say, I'd really like to have that campsite, knowing that they have other plans in front of them. It's hard even to say, hey, I'm starving. Can we stop for lunch? That was some bad choices we made on the meals, it turns out, and we need more food. No, it's still up. Hey, could we stop? We can ask them and see what they have to say. And so it's a fun experience. Now, I luckily have experience doing this every day, because I'm a pastor, right? There are all kinds of things. That is an interesting choice, and I'm glad as a pastor that I have no opinion about it. Things happen. Any conversation about carpeting, I will turn around and walk the other way. It's like, nope, no good can come from me having an opinion about carpeting. And so I have none. But it's an amazing opportunity to have faith in this moment, because all the world around you might say, you're leaving all of your trip planning in the hands of 13-year-old boys. Do you need help professionally? Yeah, they would say that. They push you. And I mean, I don't get that a lot. But if I were going out and say, yes, I'm letting these people plan my trip, there might be some concern that we're not planning well enough, that we're not taking enough into account about what might go wrong. And it's a marvelous opportunity to have faith to say, "You, I know you people. I know you, I've worked with you, I have listened to how you are thinking, and I have faith that you will bring us back home." And one of the reasons it is so exciting to have faith in these people is that they are 13. They do have their entire world before them. And it's this moment that they have still of invincibility that we get to take part in. The same thought of invincibility that seems to have overtaken Abraham when God just tells him, "Leave your father's house, leave all the gods behind, and go and follow me." Abraham must have had some sense of invincibility granted by God to do this, because otherwise he never would have taken that trip, right? Otherwise he never would have gone with God. And when you're with these young people and seeing what it is that they might see, how it is that they might view the world, you get a little bit of that too, that confidence. Now, our guys did ask questions. Our guys did, you know, sort of, they knew enough to know they were not experts in this field. But even so, that sense that the world is still before them, and that of course they're going to come back, right? Of course it will all be fine, is a thing that sometimes I have lost. I don't know about you. The sense that we'll all be fine is a sense at some point that I lost. I was precocious. I probably lost it when I was 17. But still, it is a sense that we lose at some point when we see how many things can go wrong in the world. And when we see all those things that go wrong in the world, sometimes we can seize up and find it impossible to move forward in any way. And I think that's what's going on in Hebrews. We're being cautioned to remember that oftentimes the greatest things we see happened because we had faith in something we could not prove. We had faith in something that was just over the hill. It would be there, just one more hill, and we'll find the spot we're aiming for. Just one more turn in the water, we'll find the place that we're looking for. Just one more portage, and we'll find a campsite. Just one more campsite, and we'll have a place to rest. Is the same spirit that we get in faith in the early church. Perhaps this next town will be the one I can settle in. Perhaps in this next week, Jesus will come again. Perhaps in this next voyage across the sea, I will find the people that welcome me. Always that next step in faith. We keep on doing the things that we're doing in the hopes that at some point, the promises will come back to us. The things that God has told us about, the reconciliation for all things, Jesus coming back and helping us to live in this world in a new city, as is said in Hebrews, that is beyond our current understanding, but that we can see far off in the distance. That moment is yet in front of us. And in times when everything is going well, in times when we are sure of what we've done, in times when we have our entire itinerary in front of us with the schedule for all the things we're going to do that we know are there, and they're all booked and confirmed, those are the times when it's easy to see the next city, the next step on the path. It is the times when we have no map. It is the times when the world around us that is shaking a little bit, the things we counted on seem to be a little bit sandier than rockier as we had thought they were to be, that suddenly we wonder what mistakes we had made, how we can better equip ourselves to move forward, and not stop and think that we still have the same opportunity to act. We still have the same opportunity to believe in faith that in the future will be something better than was in the past. The same opportunity to ask ourselves, how do I want this world to be better, and how do I act right now? What is my next choice? Having faith that God is in charge of the arc of history, or at least supervises the arc of history, that the promises of God are not empty promises, that the reconciliation that Jesus promises is not an empty promise, that the things that we hope for are not empty vessels into which we just pour all of our want-to-bes, but instead represent the firm promises of an always loving God that we might in fullness of time be reconciled, that we might in the fullness of time be reunited, that we might in the fullness of time be in the promised city that we hope God is building for us in faith. If we believe that God has not abandoned us, that God is with us still, we will find our faith rewarded, not perhaps in the ways that we expect, but in unexpected ways. Like seeing this youth, who is best defined by his basic inattentiveness to anything going on around him, prove to be a sterling navigator who knows at any moment exactly where we are on the map, exactly where we are going, and gets us there, despite the fact that he might forget that he even knew what a map was in the next moment. It is that faith in God's people as well as in God that is rewarded. For when we have faith in God's people, not faith that they will save us, but faith that they will be people, faith that God works in them just like God works in us, the faith that people are able to see a future, that people are able to do new things, to learn and grow, faith that we might all change together as we reach toward God's goal, that is the thing that can so often bring us reward. If you were a teacher in the Vacation Bible Experience, you might have seen those moments where these youth you remembered in a different way came and were able to articulate new ideas, faith that they might grow in God's love. If you were a coach or have been a coach of athletes, that person who was always the last one on the team, the last one on the bench, never quite sure of what was going on through work, getting to a point where you look at them and say, you are a leader of the team. Faith in that transformation, whether it is in these scouts going from them being 11 and not remembering their flashlight on a camp out in the middle of winter to guiding you safely home through the wilderness. Faith that God has hopes for all of us and has hopes that we will go forward with God. This is what Hebrews is talking about, because this is the arc of the Bible. There are people who have every reason to doubt God's promises, and yet they stay true to God, and in faith, they create a new world. And so can we.